to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
And welcome, everybody, to another enthralling edition of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Here we are in March all of a sudden, and we're glad you're here with us. Saturday, March 5th, as we broadcast to you live from our downtown radio station, our flagship, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee. And, of course, simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com to a legion of worldwide listeners and syndicated, of course, to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. Every week we give you a big show. Tonight's show is a little bit bigger than normal because it isn't every week, although it is quite often that we receive national media attention and major publicity. This week was, in fact, exactly that. CNN Keith Alexander, who is joining me tonight, a major article entitled "Are Whites Racially Oppressed?" That was the title of the piece, "Are Whites Racially Oppressed?" And featured in that article was none other than yours truly, James Edwards, and my good friend Peter Brimelow. And I'll tell you, this article, it came out just yesterday on CNN.com, is certainly making the rounds now. It is becoming a very, very big story across the country and very groundbreaking in so much as it was fair.
James really gets his buttons pressed every time CNN takes notice of us over here, and I can tell you that there's nothing. It's kind of like winning the Academy Award for James. He loves to hear CNN, but CNN, quite frankly, did a pretty good job on this article, and you can tell they did a good job because of the reaction that we're getting from the far left. They are absolutely frothing at the mouth, rolling on the ground like a snake on its belly. They are absolutely livid that they have allowed James and Peter Brimelow, two horrible white nationalists, racists, bigots, scum of the earth, whatnot, to actually be treated like they are legitimate spokesmen for a position. The left knows they can't win debates with the likes of Peter Brimelow and James Edwards, so they're tactic is just ignore them, and when they're not ignored, I mean, these people absolutely lose all sense of balance and proportion, James.
Well, we're going to be talking about the berserk response, the hysterical response that this piece has elicited from the fringe left a little bit later on in the program tonight. We're actually going to be covering this article fairly extensively during tonight's broadcast, during the first and third hours, sandwiched in between. During tonight's show will be Paul Kersey, author of the book Stuff Black People Don't Like. It's racing its way up the Amazon sales chart this very evening. He's going to be on with us during the second hour. And in addition to a few other things, once again, we will be visiting and then revisiting the CNN article and its ramifications and fallout during tonight's first and third hour. But first things first, Keith, before we get to the reaction that this story has elicited, and this is a story, as I said, it's being reposted and covered in local television affiliates across the country. I saw a television station in Tampa, Florida was talking about it today, as was one in East Texas, just countless websites, both conservative and liberal, offering their thoughts on this piece and what I had to say in it. Keith, why don't you break down the article itself, and let's get to the meat and potatoes of the matter. CNN's piece came out yesterday. John Blake was the reporter, and I got to tell you, and I did say this, he treated me with a lot of dignity, a lot of respect, and that's one of the things that's got the left's panties in a wad, if you will. Talked to Mr. Blake just again this week before the piece came out. He was a straight shooter with me all the way. Gave me a decent hearing, and for that I want to tip my hat to him and to CNN. CNN has always treated me good, dating back to 2007 when I was a regular guest on their television programming, commenting on issues just like this. But with that said, Keith, what was the article all about?
Well, let's break it down, James. Here's what it's about. Are whites racially oppressed? Obviously, our message is getting through. Whites are racially oppressed, of course, but quite frankly, we don't need to be racially oppressed in order to have the same rights that every other racial and ethnic group does, to have a sense of racial or ethnic solidarity and to lobby and to coalesce together for what we perceive to be our own racial best interests. This is what Peter Brimelow and James brought out. And let's talk about the oppression, first of all. It's without doubt that the white race is diminishing in the world. We were 25 to 30% of the world's population in 1960. We're now down to about 10%, and the birth rates are below replacement level, so we're going to go down even further. We pointed out a couple of weeks ago that there's a strange paradigm going on here. Blacks used to be approximately 10% of the world's population. Whites were approximately 30. And in a short period of about 40 years or 50 years, that has turned around. Whites are around 10%. Blacks are 30%. This would probably be the result of things like longer lifespans because of Western medicine and food aid and things like this going to Africa, but also because liberalism has had the net effect on white people of causing us to have fewer babies. And we went into that in exhaustive detail probably over the past month several times, why that is. Basically, the whole liberal program's basic final purpose, raison d'etre, as they say in France, is that they want whites to have fewer babies, and as we have fewer babies, then they're going to take over, and whites will no longer be at the top of the heap, as if whites were at the top of the heap or have been in an awful long time, particularly in America. We're the ones that are supposed to be cowed. We're supposed to be the ones that feel shame whenever we assert our own interests as a group or even make reference to our existence as a group, James. And this is what you and Peter brought out. And I thought, you know, you're an excellent spokesman. You ought to quote what was said in that article.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, this is an extensive article in and of itself. This isn't just some sort of a local blurb you'd find in your daily newspaper in whatever city you reside in. This is a full-length feature piece. This is a magazine-length article with a lot of subsections in it. And it picked up by a lot of news outlets, obviously CNN.com, the source that published it, being the biggest. But it starts out asking the rhetorical question, are whites racially oppressed? Gives some examples of why we are. The second subsection is when white is no longer the norm. What does that mean? What are the ramifications of that? Then it gets into a subsection entitled Diversity is Not Strength. And with any piece, with any legitimate news piece, you would have both sides of the argument presented. And they certainly did in this piece, as you might expect. Tim Wise offers, and we all know who Tim Wise is. He offers the Tim Not-So-Wise offers the liberal agenda on this one. Peter Brimelow and I, out of all the people in the world, were selected to offer the conservatives' opinion on this question, are whites racially oppressed? I'll tell you what I said when we come back right after this break.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. I should have mentioned this during the first segment. Welcome back to the show, by the way. James Edwards here. And Keith Alexander to my right. We're sitting in our palatial studios here overlooking Bill Street in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. And I should have made mention of it at the top of the show, as I normally do. If you have not yet joined us in the Political Cesspool virtual fan party, an online chat hosted by our partner organization, the Council of Conservative Citizens, come join the fun right now by going to the Council of Conservative Citizens website, cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Join the Political Cesspool fan party chat and interact with us as we host this show live. It's a real-time interaction there, Keith. I had lunch with Keith a couple of days ago, And as we do each week, to prepare the first hour of the forthcoming Saturday night broadcast. And obviously, this what we're covering right now is breaking news. So this wasn't something that was originally on the agenda to be talked about during the first hour. This huge, blockbuster, groundbreaking CNN expose, this magazine-length, full-length feature piece, Are Whites Racially Oppressed?, which features myself and Peter Brimelow offering the paleoconservative point of view on the matter. I'll give you a little behind-the-scenes story very quickly before I read you my part. I can't read the whole article. It would take the whole show, okay? But I'm going to read you my part, and then we're going to toss it to Keith, and then we're going to move on to cover some more ground. And then in the third hour, we're going to revisit this issue with Winston Smith. We're going to talk about the left's reaction to CNN's coverage and how fairly they treated me. They treated me as I should be treated, which is a nationally syndicated radio host. I am a very credible commentator, certainly much more credible than the detractors that I have. And that's the respect I've always been given by CNN. But the thing is, I actually gave this interview in August. This is the, you know, behind the scenes, kind of like making a movie. You don't always see the fruits of your labor the very next day. When CNN called me to serve as a commentator on this piece, that was last August. This has been an article in the making for about a half a year. And CNN got back in touch with me on Thursday and let me know that it was going to be published on Friday. They thanked me for my participation. They thanked me for my for being so frank and candid. They said they don't typically get truthfulness out of the subjects that they interview, and they thanked me for standing up and speaking my mind. And this is what I had to say. James Edwards, and I'm reading now directly from the text at CNN.com, James Edwards, host of the Political Cesspool Radio Show, isn't shy about naming certain interests. He says white Americans have become the dispossessed majority and that changing demographics may turn the United States into a third world flophouse. Edwards, who is considered to be a white nationalist by the Southern Poverty Law Center, says whites must organize like any other stigmatized group. There's nothing wrong for Jewish organizations to self-promote themselves or black organizations to do the same, he said. There is no organization, though, that's standing up to advance the interests of the dispossessed majority. Those white interests have been compromised by what he sees as preferential treatment blacks have received in the job market as compensation for slavery, Edwards says. Whatever mistakes might have been made in our past, they have not only been corrected, but they've been overcompensated for. Now whites are the victims of pervasive racism, Edwards says. They're the victims of it every day. Anything a white conservative does that a liberal doesn't like is called racism. Both Brimelow and Edwards reject outright the Southern Poverty Law Center's description of their organizations. Kind of odd me reading what I said in both the first and third person, Keith, but you got to do what you got to do on the radio show here. But CNN gave me a fairly sized chunk out of the article. And once again, we're excited about that. Continues to build up the credibility and legitimacy of this program. It's cyclical. Every so often, we get these big bursts of national publicity, and they keep coming to the political cesspool for commentary, because you're going to get commentary here, the likes of which you're not going to get on any other mainstream radio show.
You're not going to be mealy-mouthed. There are so many mealy-mouthed mainstream conservatives out there that wouldn't touch racial issues with a 10-foot pole or a vaccinated crowbar, as we used to say back when I was a teenager. But James and Peter and others that are part of paleoconservatism will do that and have done that, and CNN knows that. And if they want to get the skinny on what the interests of white people are and how they're perceived by intelligent, thoughtful commentators, they go to the political cesspool. They always have, and they always will. Now, this is kind of a crazy, crazy type of situation to be in. You said that whites are racially oppressed. They are. Legally, we are the low men on the totem pole. I think one of our commentators said in response to a blog entry this week, there is a segment of the Code of Federal Regulations that provides preference categories for federal government contracts and federal employment. There are 44 categories. The number one category, the group that has preference over all others, is black female. Number 44 on the list, the group that has no preference over anybody, the low man or woman on the totem pole, is white non-Hispanic males. Now, that in the context of there being presumably some natural existing preference for whites that we've been the undeserved beneficiaries of for time in memoriam. But quite frankly, the affirmative action that James was referencing was a product, one of the primary products of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. If anybody ever tries to tell you, particularly one of these mainstream commentators, that the 1964 Civil Rights Act was a good thing, respond to him in this way. The two primary products of the 1964 Civil Rights Act were affirmative action and the EEOC, the enforcement arm of the 64 Civil Rights Act. That's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. That's one of the most oppressive bureaucracies in America and is one of the primary reasons why American industry started in the 70s to decamp the United States and look for green pastures in other countries where they could operate without having a government bureaucracy like the EEOC second-guessing every hiring, firing, demotion, and promotion decision they made. And once these companies got overseas, they started discovering all sorts of other advantages for not being in the United States and subject to this liberal regulatory regime, the EPA, the EEOC, environmental regulations, one thing after another. And basically, they also got cheap labor. So that's what really started the ball rolling was the EEOC. Now, those are the two primary products of the pernicious 64 Civil Rights Act. Whites are, legally speaking, at the bottom of the totem pole, and a lot of white people, including yours truly, have had their careers diminished and their lifetime earnings reduced as a result of affirmative action. A lot of people are in denial about this. As I like to say, denial is not just a river in Africa, but you know, if you study it, you will see that whites with, let's say, a certain SAT score or ACT score don't get into the same colleges that blacks or American Indians or Hispanics would with the same grades. Now, whites are different from minorities, but not all minorities are so-called, quote-unquote, protected minorities under the 64 Civil Rights Act. And, for example, groups like the Arabs and Asians consider themselves to be minorities and have a natural affinity for things like the EEOC and the 64 Civil Rights Act. They're actually victims of it, just like whites, James.
Keith, that is exactly right, and we will continue on with this thread right after this commercial break. You're listening to the Political Cesspool Radio program. James Edwards here, basking in the glow of my celebrity. Got the sunshades on. I am a rock star. And I'll be back with Keith Alexander, my bass player. Charlie Sheen has nothing on me. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show, and what a big show it is tonight. Don't forget, coming up, ladies and gentlemen, in the second hour tonight, our featured guest this evening will be Paul Kersey. He, of course, runs the website Stuff Black People Don't Like. He also has just published a book of the same name that is doing very well on Amazon. He's going to be on to promote it, and you're certainly going to enjoy what he has to say. In the third hour, Winston Smith and I, this is a little later on in the show tonight, but during tonight's third hour, Winston Smith and I will be revisiting the CNN article that Keith and I have been talking about so far during tonight's first hour. We're about to transition and go into a couple of other topics here with the remaining time we have with Keith, but just wanted to reiterate, of course, the breaking news tonight. The political cesspool, myself, have been featured in a huge CNN groundbreaking story, Are Whites Racially Oppressed? And this thing has blown up today and is really getting a lot of traction, being picked up in a lot of places. I saw some CBS television affiliates have picked it up across the country. Lots of websites. Believe it or not, I saw it on like the New York Jets website, the football team. I've seen it on NBA, Madison Square Garden. I don't know how it's getting reposted and reprinted on some of these, non-political websites, but it is really making the rounds. It's been heavily covered on our side of the fence on the leading paleo-conservative websites like the Council of Conservative Citizens, like American Renaissance. Again, Winston Smith and I will be talking about the liberal response to the piece, but I want to read quickly Peter Brimelow's comments. Peter Brimelow and I, as you know, Peter Brimelow, editor of VDare.com, former editor of Forbes magazine. He wrote the best-selling book, Alien Nation. He's an icon. We were the two people that CNN chose to offer the paleoconservative point of view on white racial oppression. I typically decline interview requests when it comes from local television affiliates or newspapers in the Memphis area. They're too lowbrow for me. But I don't decline interview requests when it comes from the likes of CNN. And the fact that a worldwide media powerhouse like CNN has targeted the political cesspool as the authority to speak on such matters is really a testament, once again, to our credibility and our professionalism. CNN could have anybody they want, and they come to us. And that, again, I think is indicative of the power that we project. But Peter Brimelow was also featured in yesterday's blockbuster story. And as I mentioned, the fringe left has gone absolutely berserk over the fact that CNN treated Peter and I with any degree of respect. In their minds, paleoconservatives are not to be seen as human beings. And to that end, Peter Brimelow has responded with this on his VDare blog, and I quote Peter now, "I generally have a low expectation of interviews that I give to print journalists for reasons that I discuss in the afterword to my book, Alien Nation. But to my amazement, CNN's John Blake, who interviewed me some months ago, has written a remarkably fair article, Are Whites Racially Oppressed? Predictably, the mere fact that Blake quoted me and political cesspool's much more colorful James Edwards, author of Racism Smacism, has enraged the Stalinists at Media Matters." Note that in Media Matters' weird world, being pro-white is self-evidently wicked. This is the part of the left's openly totalitarian campaign to bully the mainstream media out of discussing views it dislikes. And I encourage you to go to our website where you can link over and read Peter's entire commentary with additional links and references. But Keith, I think Peter said it all. They certainly are upset that we continue to be portrayed as we are and not how they see us. What we are is a mainstream, legitimate media entity. Peter Brimelow, myself, mainstream media commentators. But that's not what the fringe left wants. And what the fringe left wants is to control the political discourse.
Like we've said before, the left doesn't want to win debates. They want to end debates. They don't want a viewpoint that is directly contrary to their own to be given any type of credibility whatsoever. Remember when Tim Wise was talking in that rant that he had after the last big election in November on the Daily Kos? He said there used to be, and there was also this gay activist named Dan Savage who said this too. He said there was a time when it was legitimate to be opposed to school racial integration. There was a time when there was a legitimate argument to be made against interracial sex in marriage. He said, now no decent person can oppose those. He said, that's what we're going to do with homosexuality and homosexual marriage. We're going to make it so mainstream, and we're going to marginalize people opposed to it to such a degree that no decent person can oppose them. This is their intentional strategy, James, and they are absolutely, frothing at the mouth. They are, in total consternation, full court press mode, because here you and Peter have snuck out. Peter, like he said, is less colorful than you. He tends to nibble around the edges of these issues.
That's what he said. I would never say that about him.
No, well, here's what I would say about him. He talks about illegal immigration and kind of nibbles around the edge where you basically jump right into the gladiatorial pit and fight on the racial front.
Peter fights with finesse. I go in with a blowtorch.
Yeah, right. Well, at any rate, you know, what is happening here is that the left is losing control of the discourse. Tom Sunick, who is an oftentimes guest on this show, talks about becoming masters of our own discourse. And the left wants to control the discourse. They want topics to be beyond the pale that can't be spoken about. And basically, they're terribly upset that one of the topics that they have marked for being beyond the pale, something that no decent person can speak about, is now being spoken about in the mainstream press. And as James said, these other media outlets are just lapping it up. They're jumping on this like a duck on a June bug.
Well, that's what they're doing, Keith. And as we mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to transition away from this story just for a moment. It goes without saying, however, this is the story of the night on the political cesspool, the CNN article in which we were featured. Going to get back on this later tonight in the third hour with Winston Smith, where we're going to focus on more so than just the broad scope of the article and what it entailed. We're going to focus we're going to zero in on the liberal reaction. We touched on it just now in Peter Brimelow's piece, but I'm telling you this now. This is all I can say. Stay tuned for the third hour. Some of the things that I have caught the left wing saying in response to this article will just blow you away. And these are the ones saying that CNN needs to be more, I don't know what they said. We're right-wing extremists. Wait till you hear what they say and what they have said in response to this article. That's coming up in the third hour. But, Keith, you had some more stuff. It's in the similar theme of things with affirmative action.
Well, we were going to touch on a couple other articles until we kind of got preempted by this new article that came out on CNN. And specifically, if you'll go back to it, James, affirmative action, the real hate crime, was a blog entry that we had on March the 2nd. And, of course, things have been moving so fast around here that it's now on the second page of the blog. But affirmative action, like I was saying before the break, is really actually the product of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And, in fact, affirmative action was one of the things that the opponents of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 were assured would never result from the passage of the 1964 Act. In fact, there is absolutely explicit language in the 64 Civil Rights Act saying that statistical evidence cannot be used as proof of racial discrimination. And, of course, that's been the primary bedrock policy of the EEOC ever since Alfred Bloom Rosen got control of it, which was basically a couple of months after it was formed by the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Now, affirmative action gives preference not just for jobs, James, but, and this I think is even more important, for educational opportunities by race. And see, because you have those type of preferences, that's how people get credentialed. James will remember that Pat Buchanan wrote a couple of excellent articles about the makeup of the student body at Harvard and Yale back around the year 2000 in two articles called The Dispossession of Christian Americans and Our Self-Selecting Elite. And he showed how affirmative action put whites in a pinchers, in a kind of squeeze play between unqualified minorities like blacks and Hispanics getting artificially inflated opportunities because of affirmative action. Meanwhile, we have overrepresented minorities like Asians and Jews who take up, they're 5% of the population altogether, and they take up 55% of the student slots there. The rest of the 95% of the population, including whites who are 66%, fight for the other 45%. Okay?
We're going to unleash Keith Alexander after this break, folks. You ain't seen nothing yet. Keith Unplugged. No, he's going to be plugged.
Don't
he's going to be
away.
On fire. He's going to be jamming. We'll just
guys.
Wait for it with a muzzle on.
We'll return.
jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang, call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Three things I want you to remember. Number one, if you have not yet joined us in the political cesspool fan party, an online chat, do so right now by visiting the Council of Conservative Citizens website. They are our partner organization that hosts the chat for us, cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Join us now. It's a big night as we bask in the glow of our latest publicity from CNN. Number two thing I want you to remember is that Paul Kersey, author of Stuff Black People Don't Like, is waiting in the wings. He'll be with us at the top of the second hour, about 20 minutes from now. And third thing for you to remember tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we will be revisiting the CNN article during tonight's third hour and focusing on the left's reaction to it. So stay tuned for that. You're not going to want to miss it. The second and third hour tonight are going to be just as good as the first, if it's possible to be just as good as Keith Alexander, who has something else for you now.
Yeah, James, we invite everybody cordially. You're invited to dive into the political cesspool. That may not sound like the invitation that you want to take, but that's what we're doing. We were talking about affirmative action before the last break, and let me just make these comments. White males and, to a lesser degree, white females whose careers have been diminished or destroyed by affirmative action, the reason I say to a lesser degree, part of the diabolical nature of the 64 Civil Rights Act was to make women a protected minority, although white women seem to be definitely the last group that they give preference to. They just can't hide their anti-white animus. In that list of 44, white women are not that much higher than white non-Hispanic males. But white males whose careers have been diminished or destroyed by affirmative action are the primary victims of affirmative action, but so is American society and culture generally. As we've said often before, people who leapfrog over whites via affirmative action for jobs, promotions, and scarce admission slots to selective colleges and graduate programs are typically unfit and unqualified for the positions that they get due to affirmative action. In fact, the Council of Conservative Citizen newspaper, the last edition that came out, I think it was from October to December of 2010, had an article called The Economic Black Hole, Affirmative Action, and it featured articles on three black CEOs who absolutely destroyed the companies that they were put in charge of. One was Franklin Raines, the Harvard-educated black head of Fannie Mae before the housing bubble and the toxic mortgage scandal wrecked the U.S. housing market and almost brought the entire world economy down. Then Stan O'Neill, the black head of Merrill Lynch, who basically bought all of these substandard mortgages from people like Franklin Raines and put them in the portfolio of Merrill Lynch, and because he wanted to have solidarity with his people, like Eric Holder, the attorney general, said. And then Alwyn Jones, I think the guy's name is, who is the head of Sears. And of course, Sears is not the Sears that it used to be back when I was a child, and Alwyn's leadership has a lot to do with that. Our entire nation suffers because of affirmative action. Why do you think the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Taiwanese, and others have overtaken us in commerce and industry? Well, one big reason is they have no affirmative action in their country, so their A team is competing against our junior varsity with predictable results. Jews are responsible for the victory of liberalism in this country over the past 60 years, and affirmative action is one of the primary techniques they're using to dispossess and destroy white Gentiles, which is the real goal of liberalism. It is not, and I repeat, not the real goal of liberalism to help blacks and other minorities. Without white Gentile men in leadership positions, America will descend to third world status. America, as we often say here on the political cesspool, you can't have a first world nation with a third world population or third world leadership such as we now have in America. President Obama, need I say anything more? As I said in an earlier post, unless affirmative action is abolished, America will continue to decline. We won't start to recover until affirmative action is repealed. It's that simple, James.
Well, Keith's passing the microphone over to me. This is another reason we need to have a live video stream of what's going on in the studio while we're broadcasting the radio program. First of all, that was Keith Alexander's moment for the night. And what a great commentary it was. I enjoyed listening to it as I was eating this pizza. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the station manager here at WLRM, in honor of our newsmaking that we've done this week, has bought us a pizza. So it's not every night we get treated by station management. But tonight, Keith, we have. So, Keith, would you like to eat a piece? It looks like we got sausage and pepperoni thin crust here in the studio tonight. Keith, would you like to eat with me while we do this segment here, or should we wait till the break, or what?
Well, I tell you, Charlie Sheen just came in with two of the goddesses right now, so maybe I'll take a break on that. But affirmative action is one of the primary techniques that's being used to dismantle and break down America. But, you know, there are other factors involved in the liberal assault on the American way of life. And the diminishment of our manufacturing sector, James, is another big part. I was listening to the Phyllis Schlafly radio show today, and they were covering that, and it so inspired me with commentary that I decided that we're going to go into that if we can here right towards the end.
You better take it down.
Okay, my friend, I'm running with it. Manufacturing used to be the bedrock of the American economy. In 1950, America manufactured 96%. Think of that, 96% of the goods and services that we consumed in America. Now, in the year 2010 or 2011, manufacturing is down to 9% of our economy. How in the world did this happen? Well, it happened, quite frankly, through treachery. I remember when everybody was so excited when Richard Nixon opened up China and when they gave them favored nation trading status in the early 1990s. Favored nation trading status is code for free trade. Free trade is a disaster. Conservatives are supposed to all be in support of free trade, but free trade has been horrible, and it's been the primary reason why we no longer have a manufacturing base in America. We can't even build an airplane, James, without importing parts from overseas, and that not only has great significance regarding our economic well-being, it also affects our national security. Now, we used to have economic patriots running American companies. Now, with the ascendancy of Jewish banking groups like Goldman Sachs and others, we have a bunch of money grubbers who are interested in buying companies, sending the operations overseas, taking advantage of cheap labor. They lobby our Congress to remove any penalty for doing that. You know, there's no tariff, there's no value-added tax, nothing that would basically dissuade some company from moving its manufacturing operations overseas and bringing in the goods here and getting an undeserved increase in their profits because they've got people working for $1.50 a week over in China or somewhere on the Pacific Rim to make the goods. In the meantime, the American middle class, particularly the blue-collar working class, is becoming a thing of the past. You know, one of the big problems that you're seeing on the news today is about public sector employee unions. You know, there's now supposedly that they're trying to build up some type of grievance on the part of American citizens that we should be angry that people that work for the government have pensions and have health insurance. Well, in the 50s and 60s, if you worked for a large company like Procter & Gamble, General Electric, Ford, somebody like that, you were going to have both a pension and you were going to have health insurance. That's gradually been trimmed away, and now we're supposed to feel jealous when other Americans have it, But what we really should be jealous about, or what we ought to be asking ourselves, the question is, why are we trying to balance the budget on the backs of other Americans? Instead, what we ought to be doing is cutting out all of this foreign aid, all of these foreign war expenditures, all foreign policy expenditures altogether. And we ought to put up tariff barriers, being the only nation that believes in free trade is like being the only nation in the world that believes in free love, James. That woman is going to get screwed a lot, and America is getting screwed, and we're basically, without manufacturing, have no way to get out of the economic hole we're in right now, James.
Keith Alexander, everybody, I'm glad that someone still has their head in the game, because this pizza has totally distracted me. I've almost eaten it all.
Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen being in here, too, has done it, but no, the pizza has. I got to take up issue with management here. They brought pizza, but no drinks. I don't know how we're supposed to get this down, but thankfully I did save a slice for Keith, and he was just joking about that. But we do have the pizza here, and I guess we're going to eat it during the break. I tell you, when you get famous, you get free stuff, Keith. This is a word for everyone listening out there. We're going to take a break and eat, and we'll come back with a second hour right after this.
Hard leap to his feet and says, something's got a hold on me. Yow! The day the squirrel went berserk in the First Subconscious Church in that sleeping little town of Pascagoula. It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit and looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.